people have the idea that this Antichrist is going to be some scary looking person, because the Bible used the word the beast. And so sometimes you're looking for somebody with horns. No, this ain't nobody with no horns. This is a man who is fully endowed with the power and spirit of Satan. And this man, the world is going to recognize as an incredible leader. In fact, it is evident from scripture that many will regard him as one of the greatest leaders in human history. For a while, he's going to masquerade as a man of peace.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age where many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, Pastor Brian Grant showed how the Bible identifies two specific reasons for the tribulation prophesied by Jesus on Mount Olivet shortly before his arrest and crucifixion, and detailed in the book of Revelation. This week, we invite you to turn again to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, as Pastor Grant concludes his message, What is the Tribulation?, by looking at the main characteristics of the tribulation and its finality. Pastor Grant.
Do you know that God is a God of love? Do you know that Jesus is sharing this? Listen to me now. Jesus is sharing this story 2 days before he goes to the cross. 2 days before he hangs, his hands are nailed to a cross. 2 days before his feet are nailed to a cross. 2 days before he pays the penalty of the sins of the world, Jesus comes forward and he warns mankind of what happens. He's basically saying, I love you so much that I am going to pay the penalty of your sin. But the Bible asks, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? My friend, if you're here and you're one of those who has been confused with the fact, oh, God is love, so he won't judge. I want you to know that God is a God of perfect love, but God is also a God of perfect justice and judgment, and God is going to judge. And in a moment, you're going to see some of the judgments that God is going to pour out. But listen, if we're going to talk about the tribulation, I also have to talk about two important aspects of the tribulation. There are so many more that we could cover, but I want to talk about two important aspects of the tribulation this morning. Number one, I want to talk about the rise of the Antichrist. The rise of the Antichrist. There's no way we can avoid speaking about him if we speak about the tribulation. Look at what it says here in Matthew's Gospel chapter 24. Look, Matthew's Gospel chapter 24, verse 24. Matthew 24, 24 says, For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. This Antichrist is going to be such a master of deception that the Bible says if it was possible, the very ones that God has specially elected would be deceived. So who is this Antichrist? I'm going to suggest to you that the Antichrist is Satan's counterfeit Messiah. He is the spirit and power of Satan in a human body. He is Satan personified. Now, the Bible tells us a number of things about him. I only have time to share three things with you this morning. Number one, he will be the leader of the final union of Gentile powers. This man, sometime because we use the word Antichrist, people have the idea that this Antichrist is going to be some scary looking person, some ugly person, somebody, because the Bible used the word the beast. And so sometime you're looking for somebody with horns. No, this ain't nobody with no horns. This is a man who is fully endowed with the power and spirit of Satan. And this man, the world is going to recognize as an incredible leader. In fact, it is evident from scripture that many will regard him as one of the greatest leaders in human history. For a while, he's going to masquerade as a man of peace. There is evidence to suggest that he's going to create a peace treaty with Israel. We're not going to get there this morning, but there's evidence to suggest that all these presidents who have tried so hard to form a peace treaty with Israel and have failed, this man will be able to do it. And you can imagine the worldwide adulation he will get that he has pulled off what Jimmy Carter and Reagan and Obama and Clinton and all these incredible leaders of the United States and Europe, what they could not pull off. But he will be the leader of the final union of Gentile powers. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 13. Are you still with me? If you are, say amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. I told you it was a Bible study. Revelation chapter 13. And we're going to read a couple of verses there. Revelation 13, verse number 1. And it says there in Revelation 13, it says, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast." Now, as I said, particularly in the book of Revelation, he's referred to as the beast. Because that's really what he is. "I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns." No, it doesn't mean he has 7 heads or 10 horns. God is speaking figuratively, and he's letting you know, as you compare scripture with scripture, the book of Daniel tells us that these 10 horns are referring to 10 kingdoms that he is ruling. It is letting us know that this man, this beast, this Antichrist will be the leader of 10 nations. "And on his horn 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name." Verse number 3, "And I saw one of its heads." No, look at this. Are you there? Revelation 13. "And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed." Do you realize are you getting the picture? That in this tribulation period, the devil is actually going to put forward a person who will almost have had a fake resurrection. This man had a mortal wound. And his mortal wound, mortal means it has killed you, right? He has been mortally wounded, and somehow he has been healed, and all the world marveled, the Bible says, and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon. The dragon is Satan. They worshiped him who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. By the way, notice that's 3.5 years. Remember, we told you the tribulation is 2 3.5 year periods. Then he opened his mouth to blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. We will stop there for the time being. Number one, this Antichrist will be a world leader and the leader of the final union of Gentile powers. And the Bible gives us enough information to realize that many or perhaps all of the nations he is leading are European nations. Now, we don't have time to develop that. That's for another study. But the Bible helps us to realize, if you compare scripture with scripture, with the book of Daniel, you come to the conclusion that this is the revived Roman Empire that this world leader is leading. Second, he will control the world's financial system. Amen. He will control the world's financial system. Revelation 13, you still there? Jump on down to verse 16. Verse number 16. "He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive" what? "A mark on their right hand and on their forehead. And that no man may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Can you imagine? The Bible tells us that this guy is going to control the world's financial and economic system. And he's going to have some sort of a code that it can be on your forearm or your head. Forehead or your, what did it say here? Your right arm or on your forehead. Now, you know, when I was a kid, I believed it because the Bible said it, but it seemed a little far-fetched. It seemed far-fetched that you couldn't buy or sell anything. Do you realize it's not far-fetched anymore? Do you realize we're moving to a cashless society? Do you realize that everything is now being done by computer codes and what have you? And do you realize that just this week I got a letter to tell me that that there was this big compromise where I had my credit card information and I must do this and that to protect myself. I'm sure you got some too, because, I mean, do you realize credit card fraud is such a problem that some world leaders are actually thinking of giving you a microchip somewhere on your body? Because the one thing they can't steal is that microchip in your forehead. Are you realizing that the book, that this God has told us stuff in this Bible about what is going to happen? That as a child seemed, whoa, what? And in our generation, brothers and sisters, in our generation, we don't know exactly what it is going to be. But in our generation, we can see how this could actually happen. Am I right about that? In our generation, we're starting to say, oh my goodness, how did God know that all these computerized systems would exist and everything is a code? I mean, when we were away the other day, nobody was paying for cash with anything while we were away. Everybody just gives them this little thing and they enter some numbers into their thing. Nobody signed anything while we were away. I mean, we were the only ones signing credit cards, receipts. Everybody entered a code and off they went. Nobody had any. And the Bible says this guy is going to have this thing hooked up that nobody does anything unless they have his code, his number. He will control the world's financial system. He's going to start off real good. Third, here's something. He will demand to be worshipped as God. Now, is that what Satan was always up to? That's what he was always after. And in the tribulation, the Bible says his fake Messiah, his imposter, is going to demand to be worshipped as God. Turn in your Bible back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 and 16. And I'm going to have to turn you to a couple of scriptures here. Matthew 24, 15 and 16. Therefore, here's what Jesus says. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and so on and so forth. Jesus says, whenever you see this abomination of desolation, listen, something big. Are you with me? Something big is going to happen in the middle of the tribulation. Jesus refers to it using Daniel's term. And Jesus calls it the abomination of desolation, because that's exactly the term that Daniel used. You see, I wonder if you realize how this Bible fits together. Oh, I hear people talking about, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. Oh, you know, anytime you hear somebody tell you that, ask them, would you please show me where? Have you ever tried that? People tell you, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. Oh, would you please show me where? This Bible is an incredible book because it was penned by the Spirit of God and it fits. And so everything works together. So let's take a closer look at what Daniel had to say. Let's look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And I think we have have it on the board for you, so you don't have to look at that one. And we'll all have the same version. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Make a note of that. He will confirm a covenant. He's talking about the Antichrist here. He says, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. And as you study it, you realize it's a 7-year period. He will confirm, some of the Bibles will say for one Sabbath or for a 7, okay? He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7-year period. In the middle of the 7-year period, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. And we'll talk about that next week, what is going to be poured out on him. But he is going to set this abomination of desolation up in the temple. You say, Brother Brian, it sounds a bit confusing. What does this mean? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, turn there with me, and verse 3 and 4. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin. The Bible uses 33 names to refer to this Antichrist. Antichrist is just the one that has stuck. But here he is being called the man of sin. And the man of sin is revealed. Here's another name for him. The son of what? Perdition. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as what? As God in the temple of God, showing himself what? That he is God. Can you imagine this? That was Satan's goal. He always wanted to be like God. And in the tribulation, he'll have his counterfeit Christ set up in the temple being worshipped as God. And Jesus indicated that then when this happens, it will begin a reign of terror on the Jews, the likes of which they have never seen. That's why the second half of the 7-year period is called the Great Tribulation. Are you starting to get the picture? Is it starting to come together? So here in the middle of the tribulation, he sets himself up. And he probably will be setting an image up of himself in the temple. He sets this up and he demands that this be worshipped. And the Bible makes it clear that when many or most of the Jews see this, they will come to their senses and they say, oh my goodness, we blew it. So let's go back to Matthew and see what Matthew says. Matthew chapter 24, verse 16. So Matthew 24, 16 is now saying, after this, he says, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountain. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Listen, you better run. He says, verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. Things are really going to get bad. And this is when I believe that many of the Jews, the gospel of the kingdom has been preached. And this is when many of the Jews will recognize the mistake that they have made and they will turn to their Messiah. But you know, sometimes I was preparing this message. I said, what a pity that these Jews waited until all of this drama to accept the Messiah.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's message. You can listen to or download this broadcast or view a DVD of the complete message by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as 4 Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550. Now, let's rejoin Pastor Grant as he concludes today's message.
My friend, I want to ask you this morning, I'm going to quit right there, but I need to ask you, why don't you trust Jesus today? Young person, why not come to the Savior today? Why not say to Jesus, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for my sin. I recognize I'm a sinner. God, I want you to save me today. I don't want to go through this tribulation. And I haven't even told you how bad it's going to be. In fact, let me do that. One more scripture and then I'm done. The second and worst aspect of the tribulation is the outpouring of the wrath of God. The second and worst aspect of the tribulation is the outpouring of the wrath of God. The book of Revelation describes 3 successive programs of judgment that God will unleash during the tribulation. First, in Revelation 6, it tells us about the 7 seal judgments. You go home and read. The second, Every group of judgments gets worse than the previous. And the second is what the Bible calls the 7 trumpet judgments. And then it comes with the 7 bowl judgments. B-O-W-L, bowl judgments. And I want to read for you a scripture as I bring this message to a close. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. And I'm picking up at verse number 8. The fourth angel, the Bible says, poured out his bowl on the sun. And the Bible says, power was given to him to scorch men with what? With fire. Men were scorched with great heat. And here's what they did, the Bible says. They blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and did not repent of their deeds. My friend, the tragedy is not even the pain, not even the judgment that God poured out on them made them repent. My friend, I don't know what it is with you, but we are praying for you. Young person, we are praying for you. Older person, we are praying that this morning you'll come to the Savior. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Oh, how he longs to come in. There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. Oh, won't you let him come in?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.